Get your Bible in hand, if you would. Want to welcome to these gatherings. We greet you again in the name of the Lord Jesus. We arrived here on Wednesday evening, and the word of the Lord came to us and said, I brought you out that I might bring you in to give you the land. And the song of the Lord was rich in our midst in those first couple of meetings, and he said in that first evening service, by way of the song of the Lord, I've brought you out, and I've brought you through, and I'll bring you in, because I'm in love with you. Hallelujah. We're going to come back on that theme again tonight. And then that evening and the next morning we dealt with, we're not turning, but to Proverbs 22 and 20, where he says, have not I written to you what? Talk to me. Excellent things. What's excellent things mean? Come on. Threefold things. And so we dealt with threefold things, and we studied the tabernacle of Moses with its outer court and its holy place and its most holy place. And we shared several other examples of threefold things. Then last night and the night before, we shared a message, and I brought books with me. I've given them to Des, and he'll distribute them as he sees fit, especially to the leadership. And the book, Corporate Anointing, is what I shared last night and the evening before. I'm going to review and summarize that in just a moment. And then yesterday morning, I feel, my own heart, yesterday morning was the most powerful gathering we've had and the most fruitful and the most needed. We dealt with the more excellent ministry. God lives in a three-room house. Third room is a living room, one piece of furniture, a mercy seat. And we learned that of all that God has spoken, this is the sum. We have a man in the throne with a ministry, the word and ministry of reconciliation, the creative word of the Lord in the mouth of his sons and daughters to forgive and to bless. And we looked at the man in the mirror and discovered the man in the mirror is the new man. And as we look at him, we're changed. Now, if you're here for the first time, that's just a mouthful. Say, what in the world did the man just say? We've said a lot, several hours worth, since we've been here. Tonight, I want you to really flow with me. I've not moved in personal ministry but a couple of times. I've not really prophesied to anyone. I've not ministered really through the laying on of hands. But I may this evening. That'll be up to you, and I won't minister to anyone unless they would like me to. But I can tell you what the mind of the Lord is for this service tonight. Turn to your neighbor and say, fresh anointing. Tell them. I'm wondering just up front, by way of an uplifted hand, anybody interested in a fresh anointing? All right. The title of tonight's message is Fresh Oil, and it'll take about an hour to teach it. And then we'll just see what happens. Because I would desire, through the laying on of hands, to pray for anybody that would like me to pray for you. I'm not saying I'm going to prophesy over everybody. I may prophesy over people. I don't know yet. That'll be up to the Lord and me and you. But the point is that I believe that this evening the Lord wants us to kind of reach a peak in what we've done all this week. And then when it comes back in Tuesday morning with Ruth, it's going to stay at that same level. And then it's going to go up again. And it will consummate next Friday evening. So I really want you to work with me and flow with me. And if at all possible, I would urge you, because of the season of the Lord upon this school, upon this city, upon this region, I would encourage you to come, grab up all the people you can, fill this room up, and come with an open heart and a ready heart. To expedite this tonight, as you're standing, we want to honor and read the Word of God by standing. And so would you turn in your Bibles, please, to my text this evening. And my text is found in the book of Psalms, chapter 92. Come on. Psalms 92. Now in my teaching, as you're turning to Psalms 92, I have not taught you or said much about what I would call the third day or the seventh day or the day of the Lord. One day is with the Lord is as 1,000 years, 2 Peter 3:8 says. Reckoned from Adam, we're moving from the sixth into the seventh day. Reckoned from Jesus, we're moving from the second into the third day. The third day is the seventh day, is the Sabbath day, is the day of the Lord. And I haven't really taught you on that. And there's a whole lot to that. But note the inscription. They're not inspired, but many of the Psalms have inscriptions or titles over them. And as you look at Psalms 92, look what it's titled. A psalm or a song for the what? the Sabbath or the seventh day. Sabbath is rest. Sabbathismos, the Greek word there in Hebrews 3 and 4, said there remains a rest for the people of God. Jesus entered into his rest, and now he waits for a people to enter into the rest of the Lord. His rest is not inactivity. His rest is not inactivity. It is directed activity. It's where man ceases from his own works and gets involved with the works of the Lord. It's where you look into the earth and see what God is doing, and then you do it with him. That's the rest of the Lord. If you'd like to know what the glorious church is going to look like, if you'd like to know where we're headed in the purposes of God, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and look and see what Jesus did and said on the Sabbath. Then magnify that into the corporate paradigm, and you'll begin to understand where we're headed and what we're going to do. I just gave you a year's worth of study. Now, if there's going to be an anointing mentioned in Psalms 92, then it's going to be an anointing for the seventh day. And if the seventh day is the third day, it's going to be the anointing for the third day. We're going to discover through our text here tonight, and that's in verse 10, Psalms 92 and 10, look what he says. I shall be anointed with what? Fresh oil. I'm going to say it just like I want to say it right up front. I'm going to reiterate David's three anointings. David was anointed how many times? Talk to me. Three. This fresh oil anointing is the third anointing. If there was an anointing to bring us out and to bring us through, this is the anointing that's going to bring us in. Do you understand me? And that's what the Lord wants to impart tonight. He wants to impart it by precept and by understanding through teaching. And then through the laying on of hands, he wants to demonstrate it. That anointing is working in my own life, and such as I have, I would desire to give to you. But I'm only going to pray for those who would want me to. And if that's everybody, then we'll lay hands on everybody in the room. I do that often. Turn to your neighbor and say, I hope you ate a good supper. Now turn to somebody else and say, because you might miss breakfast. We don't have to leave for the other service till 8:30 in the morning. You think I'm kidding. I've been in services 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 hours long. Just depends on how hungry you are. Just depends on, you know, if you want peanuts, popcorn, and candy, if you want to go on to know the Lord. So, Psalms 92 and 10, what's our text say? Come on, say it with me. I shall. Well, that was pitiful. Say, I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Now turn me to 1 Samuel 16. This is where David was anointed the first time. Come on. 1 Samuel 16. Verse 13. 1 Samuel 16, verse 13. The Bible says, Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, that is David, in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 13. Everybody say, David's first anointing. Turn with me to 2 Samuel chapter 2. 2 Samuel chapter 2. We're at Hebron. 2 Samuel 2 verse 4. 2 Samuel 2 and 4. Look what the Bible says. And the men of whom? Talk to me. And the men of what? Judah. What's Judah mean? Praise. And the men of Judah came, and there at Hebron, they anointed David king over the house of Judah. Where'd we read from? 2 Samuel 2, 4. Everybody say David's second anointing. And finally in chapter 5 of the same book, 2 Samuel 5. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 3. 2 Samuel 5 and verse 3. Watch this one. So all the elders, everybody say all the elders. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord. Watch this. And they anointed David king, not just over Judah, but over all of Israel. Everybody say king over everything. Everybody say complete dominion. Complete kingship. Complete authority. King over all. Third anointing. Now, a couple other references quickly. Turn to the Song of Solomon. Just two more verses. Song of Solomon's right before Isaiah. Song of Solomon chapter 1. Song of Solomon chapter 1. Verse 16. She says in verse 16 of chapter 1 of Song of Solomon, "Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant, also our what? Our bed or our couch is?" Unusual scripture. Our bed is what color? What color is the couch? Green. Very good. One last scripture, Revelation chapter 4. The open door in Revelation 4:1 is not an any minute rapture, it's a rent veil. Y'all missed that, so I'll repeat it. Chapter 4:1 is not an any minute rapture, it's a rent veil. Chapter 4, verse 1, and in 4, verse 3, as he looked into the open heaven, as he looked in here, he says in verse 3, "And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone." Watch it. "And there was a rainbow round about the throne in sight like unto" what? "An emerald." And everybody knows, if you've seen that old classic movie, The Wizard of Oz, that the Emerald City was green. Now put your Bible down. Hold somebody's hand. I know you love to hold somebody's hand. See, if you sit next to a pretty girl, you'd have fun in church. Hallelujah. We're going to pray together tonight. Say this with me. Lord Jesus, we love you. We're here tonight because we're your people. We love you. We love each other. We love your word. We recognize we need more of you. We recognize that only you, by your anointing, brought us out of Egypt and delivered us from sin. We acknowledge that only you, by your anointing, has brought us to this day and preserved us and kept us through the song of the Lord. And we acknowledge there's one more move. There's one more anointing. You brought us out to bring us in, to give us the land, everything you've promised. You have purchased us, and you have purposed us. My heart is open. I'm willing to hear. I will hear things tonight I've never heard before. It will feed my spirit man, put a real faith into me, and energize me to go forward to the next level. Thank you for this school. Thank you for Dez. Thank you for the body of Christ in this area. We're family. We're one. We're hungry. And before we leave this building tonight, we're going to be changed. If you believe that, give him some praise. Hallelujah! I wish somebody praise him. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Now, when God wants to emphasize something, he repeats himself. And Paul said to the Philippian church, he said, "For me to say the same things to you," he said, "for me it's not grievous, and for you it's safe." And so, for all the wonderful folks who are in this meeting for the first time tonight, and for you folks who've been here since Wednesday night, turn to your neighbor and say, "A little review wouldn't hurt." Just tell them. A little review. Being a teacher, I assume nothing. Proverbs 22:20 again says, "Have not I written to you excellent things and counsels and knowledge that I might make you know the certainty of the words of truth?" Where's that verse found? Proverbs 22:20. Say this with me. Excellent things are threefold things. Now, we know there is one God, but we also know that there's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's three. We know that man is a tripartite being, is he not? He is spirit and soul and body, pneuma, psyche, and soma. We know that. Where is the only verse in the New Testament where spirit, soul, and body are mentioned? Very good. 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Hallelujah. Everybody say, we are Bible school students. Experts in the Scripture. With a perfect memory. Oh, you're marvelous. That and Hebrews 4:12 is the only two scriptures that indicate a difference between soul and spirit. I'm not getting into biblical psychology or anthropology, the doctrine of man. I'm not going there. Be too much. Simply say spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Like God, we are spirit. He that's born of the Spirit is spirit, John 3. Like God, we are essentially spirit beings. We're spirit beings of which God Almighty is the Father. Hebrews 12:9, Father of spirits. James 1:17, Father of lights. He is our Father. We are spirit beings. Like God, we are spirit. Like God, we have a soul. What is soul? Intellect, emotions, and will or desires. My intellect is what I think. My emotions are what I feel. My will is what I want. God has soul. He has intellect. He has mind. He has feelings. Come on. He has desires, intellect, emotions, and will. Not my will, but thine be done. Amen? I am a spirit. I have a soul, but I must be expressed through a body. So must the Lord. His expression through his body. Soul is always expressed through body. Now, that's three. The grandfather clause we've already looked at. The tabernacle of Moses, the divine pattern. Say this with me. Outer court, holy place, most holy place. Now, you better know that stuff because that pattern continues all the way through the book, clear into the book of Revelation. It really does. And Paul said the things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, Romans 15:4. So he says, I don't see all this Old Testament stuff. Well, then you're ignorant of the New Testament. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture, come on, is given by inspiration of God. Theopneustos, it's God-breathed. Jesus walked down the Emmaus Road with Cleopas and his young friend. Luke 24. And he began at Moses. Watch this now. He began at Moses, and the Bible says he expounded, the Greek word is diahermeneuo, Dia through and hermeneuo interpreted, watch me, he started at Moses, the Pentateuch, the Torah, the first five books, and went all the way through to Malachi and interpreted himself. That's what it means when it says he expounded. No wonder they said, did not our hearts burn? How many like to have that on tape? My Lord. And any preacher worth his salt can preach Jesus out of every Old Testament book. Amen? The Apostle Paul, who, if you include Hebrews, wrote 14 of the New Testament books, when he testified in Acts 26, you know what he said? He said, I'm saying nothing other than Moses and the prophets did say should come. Then in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 11, watch me now. He said, the things which happen unto them happen for examples, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the ages are come. So anyone, preacher or otherwise, says, well, it's not necessary to study the Old Testament. They need to read the New Testament because they just don't know what they're talking about. Turn to your neighbor and say, he's right again. There you go. Okay. It's interesting, the folks that haven't been here before, they're looking at me like y'all looked at me the first time. Where'd he come from? I come from a little town in southeastern North Carolina, which is on the eastern side of the United States. There are 1,200 people in my town. Two stoplights. A McDonald's and a Hardee's restaurant. Thank you, Jesus. There was an Arnold's Family Restaurant, but Arnold got saved and shut it down on Sunday. My Lord. Our town is so small, we have to go up to Raleigh, the capital city, just to drive in traffic. Are you listening? They're not listening. Hallelujah. And once a month, the Lord lets me get on an airplane and fly somewhere. He put me in rich land so it wouldn't hurt anybody. Hallelujah. But once a month, he lets me out. Slap your neighbor and say, he's out right now. You're wonderful. That wasn't very good now. You're wonderful.
You're wonderful.
I love you.
I love you.
You're too kind. Aren't you glad to be alive? We learned last night why it was so important to be alive. Save the best wine for last. And the Lord walked in here this week and he said, there's never been a time, never been a day like this day. And there's never been a people like you. And he walked in here with the paradigm I used tonight, out of Egypt, through the wilderness, into the land, coupling that with David's three anointings. An anointing brought you out. An anointing has brought you through. And when I shared that the other night, you will notice I didn't get into the third one. There's purpose to what I'm doing, because the third one is the anointing that brings us in. It's fresh oil. It's fresh oil. Now, I don't want to get into David's three anointings, save to use that as an example. There's an anointing that brings us out. He killed a bear, lion, and giant. We dealt with that. There's an anointing that brings us through. Judah, praise, a song. But there's an anointing that brings us in. But do notice that when he came in and got that third anointing, it was for dominion over everything. Conquering and to conquer. Now, what I would like to do, and it's going to be a little bit of teaching, so just hang on. And this isn't hard. I might not take an hour to teach. Because I really think that the Lord wants to release something in here tonight. But I'm only going to move in it if you move with me. If you're here just to watch, it won't work. If you're here just to slobber all over yourself and say, I hope he prays for me, gives me a word, it won't work. You got to understand something about this fresh oil anointing, first of all, in light of what I've already taught you. When they came out of Egypt, I brought you out that I might bring you in. Who was the one God picked out and chose to bring them out? Who was it? Moses. What was his occupation? Shepherd. They were brought out by the hand of a shepherd. And in those first two feasts, God takes you by the hand and he brings you. He takes you out and he leads you through. You understand me? The body of Christ right now is somewhere between anointing 2 and 3. And most of American Christians are no different from you. They're only in it for the hand. In America, I call them revival groupies. That terminology might not mean anything to you. They're loaves and fishes Christian. They just hop from church to church, from meeting to meeting, just to see what they can get from God. And it's unfortunate that the American church then has transported this nonsense to the nations. That's sad. Because all you have is, well, let me say it like this. Church growth in America is nothing more or less than fish changing tanks and swimming in circles till the next feeding. You missed that. I know it's different here in New Zealand, but in America, this is what church growth really boils down to. Fish changing tanks. And swimming in circles until the next feeding. No real heart for God, no real love for souls, no understanding of corporate commitment, no understanding of the ministry and theocratic order, none of that. Just what can I get from God? Very selfish. They love his presence, P-R-E-S-E-N-T-S, more than his presence, spelled the other way. Are you listening? Now it's too early in the evening to get under conviction. Tell your neighbors, too early in the evening to get under conviction. That won't come till later. Some of you are listening so hard you're heating the room back up. Come on. But that's good. You're listening. Am I making sense? How many are glad you're saved? If you're glad you're saved, jump up and shout and thank him. Thank you. Good, good. You may be seated. How many are glad you're filled with the Holy Ghost? Jump up and thank him. Hallelujah. You may be seated. Is there anybody in the room dangerously filled with the Holy Ghost? Where are you? Well, there's a few of you here. Okay, you can sit down now. So what you doing? Waking a few of you up. Hallelujah. If I get one or two of you to smile, I will accomplish my mission. Good evening. I love you. You're really wonderful. Hallelujah. You think I'm just being cute doing that, don't you? I'm not as dumb as I look. There's purpose for everything I do. Some of you never tell anybody else you love them. For some of you, it's been a long time since anybody told you you were wonderful. Whisper your neighbor, say, this man makes me think. Yes, I know, yes. How many know he's brought you out? Aren't you glad? No more Egypt, no more bondage. And that little guy that's rooting in that crayon box back there, I don't mind him rooting in it, just don't root so loud, baby. Okay. You don't miss nothing, do you, preacher? No, not a thing. Let the kids color if the grown-ups will listen, okay? Now, there's a difference between bondage and captivity. You're never going back to Egypt. You read that one right. The church is never going back into bondage, but the church may go into captivity. There's a difference between bondage and captivity, biblically, historically, and experimentally. You're not going back. He brought you out. Hallelujah. And he brought you through. You've purchased. But why are you saved? Why are you delivered from sin? Why is Egypt far behind you? I brought you out that I might bring you in. Now, this isn't hard tonight. Don't make it hard. Could you get out by yourself? No. Did you even want to get out? No. There was nothing in you that wanted him. Until he breathed on you, until he raised you from the death of trespasses and sins, until he took the initiative in Jesus and came to you, there was nothing in me, there was nothing in you that wanted him. I weary of preachers in the States who strut their flesh and who come up to me wanting to know my pedigree and say, Dr. Vanna, what's your background, sir? I look them right down the gun barrel and said, heathen, what's yours? Remember that number? What were we but heathen? Come on. Paul said, you boys and girls didn't just used to walk in darkness. He said, honey, you were darkness. We were by nature the children of wrath and the sons of disobedience. Do you understand me? Nothing in us wanted God. Nothing. I'll ask one more time, whoever mama, that little boy is back there, help him not to make so much noise. Thank you. Now, we were darkness. We were sinners. Now we're not sinners saved by grace. No, no, no. We're sons and daughters of God saved by. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Say it like you mean it. Amen.
Amen.
Now, could you get out by yourself? No. Have you been kept and preserved all these years by yourself and your own strength? No. Tell your neighbor, an anointing brought me out. Tell them. You're not convincing me. Talk to one another. Don't just look at me. I said, tell somebody, an anointing brought me out. Tell somebody else, an anointing brought me through. Come on, guys. I've been working since Wednesday night. Don't make me work so hard. Tell somebody, an anointing brought me out. Tell somebody else, an anointing brought me through. Now, logically, spiritually, sensibly, if it took God to get me out, help me preach. Come on. If it took God to get me through, you think I'm going in my own strength? It's going to take a third anointing. Now, what's that got to do with my text? Everything. Before I explain that, let me give you something else I've shared with you. All right? Number one, say this with me. God lives in a three-room house. Now, what's the three-room house he lives in? That tabernacle, right? Outer court, holy place, most holy place. Say this with me. God lives in a three-room house. The third room is the living room. That's what I taught you yesterday morning. How do I get that? Jesus said, I am the what? The way, the truth, and the life. 1, 2, 3. In the outer court, he's the only way to God. In the holy place, he's the truth of God. What is he in the most holy place? The life of God. So the third room is the living room. Tell your neighbor, God lives in a three-room house. Third room is the living room and the loving room. How do we get that? There abides faith, hope, and love. 1, 2, 3. Now tonight we're going to learn one more thing. Say this with me. The third room is the living room. The loving room. The green room. Well, how did I get that? Because Psalms 92:10 says, for the Sabbath day, the anointing for the Sabbath day, I shall be anointed with fresh oil It's the Hebrew word for green. I shall be anointed with what kind of oil? Fresh oil, which is green oil. It's found 20 times in the Hebrew text. 20 times. 18 of those times it's rendered in your English Bible as green. Here in Psalms 92:10 it's rendered as fresh. And in the same psalm in verse 14 as flourishing. Fresh oil is green oil, is flourishing oil. The raw Hebrew meaning says green or verdant. By analogy and implication, watch this one, it'll make you shout. It means new or prosperous. Now, the color of currency in America, I got some of your money here. Oh, yes, I got some stuff. But the color of my money is green. Now, this will really preach in America because they love to talk about money. And I want to say something that I picked up in the Holy Ghost since last night. If you ever invite me back here, let me do a seminar on finance. Because there's some residuals of the mindset of down under. That has caused many of you to need what the Lord really says about money. Oh God, he's one of those. Who said that? The curse of the law, Deuteronomy 28, sin, sickness, poverty, and death. God wants his people to be delivered from sin, sickness, poverty, and death. There's no bad money on the planet. There's bad people. And God's wealth is wealth to be given away and stewarded. There's nothing spiritual about any of us being poor. And don't start in on me with that Pentecostal nonsense about Jesus being poor. Boy, did I hit a nerve. You see the nerve I hit? Now, this is how you can spell relief. Turn to your neighbor and say, next visit. But can I show you something real quick? The tithe is in three dimensions. One, two, three. Outer court tithing is your money, the body, the natural realm. That's just your money. You can do that without the Holy Ghost. Even Baptists can do that. Hallelujah. What's holy place tithing? The realm of the soul, the mind. Outer court's what you give. Holy place is how you give. Where Jesus said in Matthew 23:23, he said, you boys give your natural tithe, but you omitted something else. Justice, mercy, and faith. So outer court's what you give. Holy place is how you give. And the most holy place, the highest order of anything, is to become it. There's a tithe company. And your understanding of that will determine what you give and how you give. So if you think you're little, baby, you'll give little. If you think you're down under, and that's how most people in this area think, that's why they give. And it's not just that they're stingy, they're ignorant. Now boy, I'm using a jackhammer now. And you think I'm talking about you. I'm going into the heavens just to alert somebody that I'm coming back and teach on money. You think you're nervous? Ho-ho. Now see, you think I'm being cute now. You think I'm being a smart aleck American. No. You don't know me by the Holy Ghost. Mm-mm. You don't even know why I'm saying this. I'm telling you, green oil includes prosperity. It's going to take money, you hear me, to evangelize a nation. Somebody agree with me. And I have no respect whatsoever for anyone's tradition or their culture if it's not in agreement with the word of the Lord. We got a long way to go, baby. And I'm telling you, the third anointing is green oil, and the pure meaning of it is, by implication and knowledge, it means something new, but it also means something flourishing or prosperous. The green, oh, hallelujah. The green oil anointing. I want to say it and shout it. If you agree with me, hallelujah, shout with me. If you don't, just be nice to me and shout anyway. The green oil anointing that God's about to pour out upon an end time people is going to include the provision for the vision. Hallelujah. It's true. Hallelujah. And we need our minds renewed to that. Now, you don't know me. You don't know my start in God. I don't know what the American dollar means to you, but I know what I did the first 7 years of my full-time ministry. I taught at a Bible school. My salary for 7 years was $10 a week. I've been there and done that. I've preached Bible studies for a bucket of potatoes. I've learned faith. I've lived and walked by faith for 35 years. God is my source. I'm a young man, but I could tell you stories that make you think I'm an old man. Of supernatural provision. Supernatural. I'm not in it for money. I'm a giver. My church is a giver. There's 150 people in my church, 90% tithers, and our budget is $500,000 a year. 40,000 cassette tapes went out of our church last year to all the states and 40 nations. What are you doing, bragging? No, I'm trying to show you something because some of you think you know me. You don't know me. Why are you angry at us? Are you mad at somebody? No, I'm intense because I go into the heavens when I go into a nation or a region and I see what's hurting the people of God and I'm at war with that thing. It takes an apostolic mantle to deal with demon princes and principalities. And over this area, and I say it now and I prophesy in the strong name of Jesus, in this school will be an example and a front runner. God will arise in this school. I'm prophesying. And God will arise in this area. And he will anoint you. And he will anoint the people of God with fresh oil. And you are going to break the back of the spirit of poverty. Amen. Now, some of you holler and squeal and get all goosebumpy because you think I'm talking about God giving you money. No! I'm talking about God giving us money. I haven't preached yet this week, but I feel like it. It's the same in South Africa, the same mindset. I attacked that thing in South Africa. It's all over your continent, brother. It's all over your continent. But in the strong name of Jesus, I say, oh, I'll be back in a minute. Give me a hand, preacher. Hurry up. Give me a hand. I say that there will be an anointing upon you and your team and your ministry and your church, and God will release to you everything you need. Come on, somebody, stretch your hand this way and agree with me. God will give this man the tongue of the learned, give men around him the tongue of the learned so they can begin to really understand what's going on and why. There's this ignorant thing that if it comes from America, it's got to be God. Go on with yourself. The gospel of America has come out of America, not the gospel of the kingdom, not the gospel Jesus preached, and certainly not the spirit in which he preached it. Bring that rabbit back in here, kill it, cook it, and eat it. I've got to preach on fresh oil. But fresh oil includes finance. In the most holy place, there's a tithe company. How many lepers were healed? 10. How many came back and returned and gave glory to God? 1 out of 10. Take all the scriptures about the tithe, and the tithe company is holy. Comes under the rod, a governmental people. There's a seed in it, and all the scriptures. He can do that. The outer court's what you give. Holy place is how you give. Most holy place, you become what you give. And knowing that, it will certainly determine what you give and how you give. He that sows little, reaps little. You think you're little? As a man thinketh in his heart, you are little. God put me in rich lands. In the most impossible of situations, there's a poverty spirit over my county. We're the poorest county in the state. And we're getting ready to build a $2 million building. that I don't even need. I could put my congregation in the balcony. I feel crazy, stupid, silly. Like Noah building an ark. God said, build a conference center. It'll be for the nations of the earth. And over and above the tithe, it's not even October yet. It's not October till tomorrow in my country. And God has given us, without asking, $300,000 over top that tithe and offering in 2 years. You know why? He's opened our eyes to a fresh oil anointing. He said, I brought you guys out. I've been in Richlands 23 years. I've died a slow, customized death pastoring that people in that place. Somebody says, why don't you go to Fayetteville or Wilmington or Raleigh or Los Angeles or Washington or somewhere else? Because I can't have my baby. My baby's called Destiny. I can't have my baby anywhere else but Richlands. That's where you had your baby. You had to come back here and have your baby. It says in Luke 2, 1 through 7, especially verse 6, while Mary was there, it was there she brought forth her firstborn son. Why? Because of the prophetic picture. Micah 5, 2 said it had to be Bethlehem. She couldn't have him in Nazareth. Now, there's some free-floating spirits in here. There's Lone Ranger Christians in here. There are people in here that don't know what it is to be committed to a man or a ministry. And you think I'm talking in tongues right now. But to those of you that can really hear me, there's corporate destiny, and it can only happen in the place where God's put you. I have to have my baby in Richlands. You see, what happened to fresh oil? I'm talking about it. There was an anointing that brought me out. Talk to me. There's an anointing that brought me through. And there's a third oil, a fresh oil, a green oil that takes me in. And part of that anointing is anointing for an unlimited amount of money. If I ever preached a message on the seven separations of Abraham, I might do that next week. And after he made all seven of those separations, God put no more requirements on him, brought him into an unlimited provision. That's going to happen to an end-time remnant church. We're going to walk with God and come into an unlimited provision. Now, the reason you're looking at me a little bit funny is because most of you are living in your own world. And what you need is an awareness of something bigger than yourself. And that's called the body of Christ and the corporate anointing. In the corporate anointing, the last two nights I showed you one, that Christ is what? More than an individual. And last night we learned that Christ, the anointing, never left the planet. I'd love to go back and get that, but I've got to deal with fresh oil. I'm going to prophesy tonight, and I'm going to preach. I'm not going to wait on everybody. He that hath an ear, let him hear. For those that want it in this service, there's going to begin in your life tonight a fresh oil anointing. You have faithfully walked with God through two feasts. And I hear the Lord say, because you've walked with me through two, I'll pick you up and carry you through the third. Now you notice where I'm standing, where I'm preaching tonight? Right in front of the set man. There's a reason. Not only because I'm preaching off his anointing, but because in the heavens there's a protocol and there's an order and there's something happening here in the heavens tonight. And I know I appear and sound strange to some of you, but that's okay. He understands what's happening, and that's all that really matters to me. I thank God for everyone else that's here. And I want you to come back and bring all the in-laws and outlaws. Let them hear the word. But I'm not here to be cute, and I'm not here to preach and teach. I'm here in the mind and in the timing and the season of God to say to this man, this woman, and this school, whew, God is about to bring you guys into your corporate destiny. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, you are on the threshold of corporate destiny. And when they came out of Egypt, there was one man, Moses. But when they went in, it was a priesthood. It was a team ministry that held the ark and walked through Jordan. My Lord. I hope they're getting some of this, Des. I really do. Now, let's talk about green oil. Amen? Everybody say green oil. Everybody say fresh oil. Amen. Sounds to me like we just went on the backside. Is that right? Good. So you got good ears. I know. Good eyes, too. I can do this and all needs about a half hour, then we'll pray. You doing okay? Good. Get these three words, and if you need to, write them down. Do whatever you have to do to remember them. This is what the fresh oil is going to do for you. It's going to give you three things. You ready? One, a fresh desire. Two, a fresh energy. Three, a fresh ability. And then the ability is the monetary provision, enablement, empowerment. A fresh, what was the first one? Desire. Now, if you're living for yourself, you don't know what I'm talking about. If you walk with God for a while and suffered with Him and shared the fellowship of His sufferings, you're like me. You're tired. I bear in my body the marks of the Lord. I didn't get into this yesterday. I believe for this brother for over 30 years. I've paid a price like you have to preach the truth. It's not been easy. And I need something from God. I need it more than any of you. Because there's times I get upset with people. I don't get upset with God. I get upset with people. If it weren't for people, I'd be an awesome pastor. You know what I mean? I love you. I sure wish you'd get in the Holy Ghost with me tonight, not just look at me. I love you. I see something over your heads. God's about to just drop a third anointing on you guys. And when it comes, you'll remember my words, because this is what's going to happen when it comes and as it comes. You're going to have a fresh desire. That's not to say that your desire has waned. You're just going to get a fresh desire. You know what else you're going to get? Fresh energy. I haven't stopped since I've been here. I'm writing a book while I'm here. It'll be finished when I leave. First morning I was up at 4. Second morning, 5. This morning, 5:30. What you doing? Writing. I sense on this campus an anointing and enabling. I've been walking in the third anointing since I've been here. Oh, you're just a workaholic. No, I'm not. I'm a fat man that knows how to chill if he needs to. So he says, is your bed all right? I can sleep anywhere on anything. How's the food? Food's always wonderful. Except that stuff you tried to feed me the first morning that looked like chocolate. I mean, I had a drink at a restaurant today that was made out of seaweed. I mean, I am really getting into it now, honey. It was green. He's cute, you know that? I need something. I can't speak for you. I don't live for myself. I live for the bigger picture. I wear several hats. My wife has been with me, Joanne, for 28 years. Why are you crying? I miss her. We have 4 children. April's 21, John's 19, Joy is 16, David's 13. I'm a papa. I'm a pastor. I'm a neighbor. I'm a scribe. One word, I'm a papa. I love people. I've got a deacon that's dying. I've got a lot of things. God, if you don't anoint me, I can't live. Some of you don't understand. For me to live is Christ. If I say it that way, Lord, they'll think I'm, no, I don't care, I'll just say it. I'll forget more scripture than most preachers have ever learned. And yet I won't, that's because I've given myself the word, but I will not, I refuse to come into this service or any service and lean on my experience. I come in breathing this, God, I need you. I can't preach, I can't teach, I can't even burp without the anointing. You understand what I'm saying? I need God. Some of you concern me. Now, some of you young ones, it's okay. You just don't know what life's about yet. You'll learn. Just don't mess up by marrying the wrong person, please. Some of you young people, just you don't know what life's about yet. You will. Just stick around. You might not even know what I'm talking about. I need God. Well, Pastor Varney, you've been a Christian, been preaching for over 30 years. You need God? I need God. See, I couldn't get myself out. I could not get myself out. He got me out. You'd have to know what I've walked through. Not just the $10 a week, my Lord, that's easy stuff. But the persecution, being ostracized, and having my good, everybody thinks it's evil, and the stories, and the, oh. You've got your story, I got mine. If you've been around it for a while, only God's brought me through. Only a song has kept me from going nuts. I went into a midweek service one night, and you know what my topic was? Scriptural proof why I'm not crazy. What'd you do that night? I preached to myself. Just to convince myself that what I was hearing from God, because nobody else was saying it. Anybody else been there and done that? I'm different. We're overcomers. We're different cut, different breed, not ordinary. Don't want to be ordinary. Is there anybody else in the room connecting with me? I want God and I need God. I'll die without God. Can anybody hear me? Did he get out, children? Get us out. Did he bring us through? Well, who in the world do you think is going to take us in? Him. Who gets the glory for bringing us out? Talk to me. He does. And for bringing us through? And for taking us in? Very good. Green oil. Fresh oil. Where's God live? Three-room house. Living room, loving room, green room. Stay with me. It's a fresh desire, fresh energy, fresh ability. Please get this, because it's the most powerful thing I've said so far. Everybody say, God lives in three-room house, third room, living room, loving room, green room, bedroom. Song of Solomon 1:16. Our bed is the psalm that everybody knows. You make me to lie down green pastures. The bedroom. The place is sacrosanct, holy of holies, the place of intimacy. And that track, that side of the fresh oil anointing is priestly. Priestly. El Elyon, Most High God, Most Holy Place. Whole burnt offering, Olah. Same word family. You give it all. Melchizedek, King Priest. All that fits. The more excellent ministry, all that fits here. Can't give you all that. Don't worry about what I just said if you don't understand it. It's what I connected to yesterday morning. The third room, desert's the bedroom. It's where the Lord and I have intimate relationship. So that is bridal affection. That's brideship. Well, Pastor Varner, are we bride or are we son? Yes. See how we limit ourselves? Well, what company are you in? Oh, go on with yourself. Brides. Bride and son. Brideship predicates sonship. Are you in love with Jesus? There are people who hear, you know, this brother tonight, I reached over to Des and said, let this worship go. We hit a vein on that first time around. If we'd have pressed on in, I wouldn't be preaching yet. Tell some of you husbands, make love to your wives. Don't be in such a hurry. Make love to the Lord and worship. And this priestly anointing, this track of the green oil anointing, watch me now, It's a fresh desire, whoo, a fresh energy, and a fresh ability to pray. Isn't this deep? And to praise and worship, and to walk in obedience. Isn't that deep? How would you like all of these students, and how if you're pastoring all of your people, to pray like they should, offer God praise and worship like they should, and to walk in obedience like they should? That's priest. Well, guess what? We all need to do that. We need a fresh anointing. Some of you just like me to slap my hands on you so you go down and feel good. Prophesy to me, Pastor Varner. You might not want me to. I don't give Jesus loves you prophecy. A real prophet ever prophesies to you, that word will throw you into a furnace. It'll turn your world upside down. It'll wreck you, man. When I was a young man, a young prophet, God, if it moved, I'd shoot it. Boom! Boom! I mean, if it moved, I'd pour oil on it. You know what I mean? Had a hair trigger on my prophecy gun. No more. You still prophesy? Oh, yeah. But now I don't miss. Oh, I've missed it, just like you have. But I'm telling you, I don't miss often. I haven't missed tonight. Anybody need God? Anybody want God? Anybody want him to pour a fresh oil on your life? To give you a fresh desire? For what? Prayer. For what? Worship. For what? Obedience. You just want the water to the ankles? That's waters to splash in, have a good time. You want waters to the knees where it hits your prayer life. Or waters to the loins where you lose control. And then waters to swim in. What you want? What you want? How much of God do you want? This school is a first fruits unto God and the Lamb. It's the tip of a spear. It's a light in a dark place. It's an oasis in the desert. I can look into the heavens and those words that have been prophesied of you still up there living. I can just go up and grab them and start saying them back to you. Right? Okay. Because they're alive. They're as real as when whoever said them, said them. They're Holy Ghost words. And knowing that, you read me. You read my lips. You need something. An anointing brought you out. Talk to me. An anointing brought you through. And it's going to take an anointing to bring you in. What kind of anointing? The third one. Fresh oil. Green oil, flourishing oil, a new oil, a prosperous oil, oil for the bedroom, so that as the bride of Christ, Jesus can become your husband, lover, and Lord, just like it was in the beginning when you first met him. A fresh desire. You that are married know what I'm talking about. A fresh energy. And a fresh ability. Because what good is the desire if you can't do it? God, you playing with my mind? You playing with us? You telling me we can be like you? Just dangling the carrot in front of me, Lord? Don't mess with me. You telling me your glory is going to fill the earth as the waters do the sea? Lord, the knowledge of that? Lord, you've promised us nation after nation. You just playing with us? I love you. I love you. I love you, Mama. You're so wonderful. Aren't they wonderful? If I was God, I'd just give them everything. And then if I had somebody that was sensible enough to be connected to them and love them, I'd give them everything. You know what I mean? Thank you, thank you, thank you very much. Who brought you out? Say, man, you just keep repeating yourself. Why? Because God's people don't get it the first time. I got this stuff. I'm cool. I'm okay. You need it. Who brought you out? Who brought you through? Who's about to bring you in? Did an anointing get you out? Has one kept you and brought you through? It's time, children. Do you know what time it is? There's back to the first message. It's time for the most holy place. It's time for the Feast of Tabernacles. It's time for maturity. Those are just semantics if you don't get the reality of it. It's time for God to give you, by His Spirit, a fresh desire, a fresh energy, and a fresh ability for the green room, the bedroom, for prayer, for praise and worship, and priestly obedience. That's just one track. You that are in the worship team and leading worship, never shut your eyes while you're doing that. You just go off into la-la land, leave the rest of us. Come on. Lead the people. Bring them in. That's just a practicum. Learn it. But some of you are like that and you're living. Oh, Jesus. Just love you, Lord. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with being into that. And for the looks of some of you need a little bit of that. If I was God, I'd land on one or two of you and just throw you on the floor and let you scream and holler in tongues for about 2 hours tonight in front of everybody. I'll never do that. Good, Father. Take them on as a personal challenge. Just knock them down, knock them out. Help them. My last point is this. The rent veil, the open door into heaven, not an amen of rapture, John 4, Revelation 4, 1 that John saw. And he saw the throne room, most holy place, Revelation 4 and 5. And he looked, and the one that sat on the throne, and he looked. Did I tell you what I saw coming out of Charlotte? I told you, didn't I? Did I tell them? I flew into Charlotte on my way to L.A., horrendous thunderstorms. It delayed the flight. I mean, it was nasty. It was bumpy, okay, in the plane because I flew a little crop duster plane over to get there out of nowhere where I live. And it was bumpy coming in, and boy, that thing hit. But coming up out of Charlotte on my way to L.A., I looked out the window, and the most gorgeous rainbow over that city. And the Lord just spoke peace to my heart, and he said, I've sent you on this journey, and I am faithful, and I'm with you. I'm going ahead of you. That's wonderful. And he has. And he said, I saw something in sight, watch John's language, like unto an emerald, and an emerald is green. Please get this. I'm almost done teaching. Say, God lives. Three-room house, third room, living room, loving room, green room, bedroom, throne room. That's the other track. I don't care how good your message is. You're not going to move this generation without the power of God and real miracles. Not only is there a priestly anointing for prayer, praise, and worship, there's a kingly anointing for dominion. Can you hear me? What happened with David's third anointing, 2 Samuel 5:3? Dominion. All Israel bowed down. He was king. He had authority over everything. God is about to pour fresh oil on a people that have walked with Him, a people that He has brought out and brought through and desire to be brought in, go all the way. He said, and this is so easy, please hear me, please hear me. He said, I'm going to help you. I know you couldn't get yourself out. I know you couldn't get yourself through, and I sure know you're not going to get yourself in. And it's like the Lord coming to me and coming to you and saying, I'm going to help you. You think it's been easy to preach to you guys since Wednesday night and say all that I've said and keep it all in mind and in track? Well, how have you done that? I haven't. It's not by might. It's not by power. Well, brother, since you've been here, there's just been a desire and an energy and an ability. What is that thing? It's green oil. I didn't know what it was, but it started working in my life about 1990. The 80s were horrendous, as they were for all of us. And in 1990, the Lord came to me in the visions of the Lord. And I can't explain it, but it's like he got under me and picked me up and has been carrying me ever since. People look at me and say, how do you do what you do? I don't. And yet I do. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ, the Anointed One, lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me, gave himself for me. Like Elijah, like any preacher, I've lied to God and said, it's enough, I quit. You can't. I give up. Nah. I lied. Zzz, forget that. Those who are truly called cannot quit, and those who are not called must. It's that simple. That helps you. You don't even need discernment as to who's called. Those who are truly called can't quit. And those who aren't, they must. So that fixed that. But I tell you what I need, and I'm almost done, and you need it too. I need a fresh oil. I want you and I to walk fully in our inheritance and our corporate destiny. I want you to walk in all that he died for and provided for you. I want his plan and purpose and will that he's delegated for your life to be a reality. I won't lie to you. You're going to need God. This isn't a deep message. You're going to need God more now than when he brought you out and brought you through. You're going to have to come and humble yourself and be childlike, not childish, and come into a daily dependence upon the anointing and the Anointed One. It's called rest. And he's about to give us a fresh desire, a fresh energy, a fresh ability. As priests, to pray, to sing, to worship, to love him, to walk in obedience, and as kings, to go forth in his name, unashamed, unafraid, bold as lions, working real miracles. The other night over this man's head, a dove appeared. Doves don't appear around here. A woman told me yesterday, she said, when you were preaching the other day, I saw an angel following you around. And there was a crown right over your head, and she drew me a picture of the crown. She says, I don't even know what this means. And I know what it meant. It looked like the front of our new building we're building. Neat stuff. When I taught in Bible school, and this goes back to another era, early 70s, I was teaching one day in class, and all of a sudden the students went, ah! And screamed. I said, what? Don't you see them? Don't you see them? I said, see what? He said, angels. And then all of a sudden I felt heat all over my back. And the Lord said, I send you forth and angels at your back. You're never going to move your nation without a fresh oil anointing. You won't have the desire. You won't have the energy because the beast system is designed to wear you out. And you won't have the ability. So he must come and pour upon you fresh oil as priests and as kings. And you must have the priestly anointing first. Brideship predicates sonship. Until he's your husband, lover, and Lord, you'll never be an heir of God and a joint heir of Jesus Christ. Teaching is over now. Did you get it? There is an anointing waiting to fall upon this school. I don't think it's going to happen while I'm here. But I do believe it's going to happen this year. Where's it going to happen? It might happen at breakfast. It might happen on an outstation ministry. It might happen in somebody's bedroom in the middle of the night. But it'll start. And boy, when it drops, when it hits. You talk about publicity. You talk about people finding this place. They'll call the fire trucks out because they think the place is on fire. That happened in a lot of rain. All I know is this. I'm done. I love this man. He's the reason I'm here. And speaking on behalf of the Lord, it's time, Des. In due season, you will reap if you faint not. For this man and this place, it's due season. I'm not making that happen. I just look in the heavens and see it's time. Now, we can do this several ways. One, we can just say amen, go to house. That's all right. Two, we can rev it up. Maybe go, whoo, whoo, whoo. I don't even know if anybody wants prayer or not. I think lightning ought to strike this place. Strike you. If I lay hands on you, you may feel something, you may feel nothing. You may stay on your feet, you may fly across the room, I don't know. Not into that. Not into that. We're all different. We respond to His presence differently. Is that all right? I know this, if I asked for who would like prayer right now, there wouldn't be room at the front for everybody. So I'll just try this side of the room first. Anybody here like me to pray for you? I didn't say come. Did I say come? Now, I'm concerned for you, though. I'm concerned for you. You're not aware of something. That the same Holy Ghost that's in me is already in you. Can I help you with something? Could I borrow one of these beautiful babies? Would they cooperate with me? Either one? Either one? Come, please. Just for a moment. Oh, thank you. Oh, thank you. Oh, you are so beautiful. You'll make me look so good on video. Come. I need a chair. Hallelujah. It's fun when Pastor Varner preaches. Hop up here. Stand up on this chair for me. Man, that's very good. See, we look good now. What is your name?
Josephine.
Josephine. Isn't she beautiful? You ready for this? You love Jesus?
Yes.
Oh, I knew that. That's why I picked you out. Oh, yes, I could tell. Are you ready now? The Holy Spirit in Kelly Varner is no more powerful than the Holy Spirit in my sister. Oh, you thought there was a little Holy Ghost. No, just a little person here, and she'll grow into a beautiful woman, the handmaiden of the Lord. And brother and sister, all of your children will praise you in the gates of the city. You can guarantee that. Hand of the Lord's on this baby. Josephine. The Holy Spirit in me is no more powerful than the Holy Spirit in this child. You ready for this? Nor is the Holy Spirit in me any wiser than the Holy Spirit in this child. 1 Corinthians 1:24 says that the Christ in us is the wisdom of God. Come on. And the power of God. Some of you want to come up here just so you can connect with me. It's not about me. If I pray for you and the anointing quickens in you, I can do that. And you will feel something. And it'll change your life. But I can't pray for you unless you understand something. The Holy Spirit in me is no stronger, no wiser than the Holy Spirit in you or this beautiful little girl. Don't ever forget that. Is that okay? Thank you, baby. Give me a kiss. Ooh, that's nice. Why'd you do that? I was reminded the first time I went to Canada to preach. They took me up in the boondocks, man. We were in this high school, and there was so much man worship there, it just bound the place. The man of God is coming from the States. Oh, yes, my. And it was thick, man. Idolatry it was. And I said, Lord, how am I going to break this? He said, just like that little girl, he said, you see that little girl over there? It was in a gymnasium. He said, when they turn the service to you, get her, come out this middle of the floor, and I'll tell you what to do. Praise and worship was deader than a hammer. It was a sick bird, never got off the ground. Why? They were waiting for the man of God. So when they turned me to the service, I mean, it was cold turkey, man. It was bad, awful. Not nice. So I brought that little girl over and did just what I did there. And all of a sudden, people began to weep. And then they began to shout. And then the Holy Ghost fell on the crowd and they forgot about the man of God. Is that okay? Just want to make that clear before I pray for anybody. Is that all right? Now, there's only one way we can do this. Somebody move that pulpit for me. Move it clear and back. This will take at least an hour and a half, maybe two. That's what you get for sitting in the back of the room. But I want to start. I'm going to end with you, Des, you and your wife. I'm going to go back and come up one row at a time. Now, I'm not really going to prophesy over people, but you get a tape ready just to say, I'll tell you what, cut this tape off, all right? Just put a fresh tape in case there's any prophecy. That's some corporate anointing. Who believes in corporate anointing? Yes. Who believes that the Holy Ghost in them is no different from the one in me? Yes. Well, I'm done for this evening. Aren't you going to pray for them? I've been laying hands on them the whole time, giving them gifts. And I got a word for them next Friday night when I lay hands on them. This is what I want. I want anybody in this room that loves this man and loves this woman. Have I given you something through the laying on of hands? Yes or no? Talk to me. What have I imparted this evening? Fresh anointing? Fresh oil? Green oil? Well, that means if I've imparted some, have you got some? You love them? Well, why don't you go up there and give it to them? What you waiting on? Pray for them. Love them. Honor them. Come on. Come on. And don't whisper, I want to hear some prayer. I want to hear some prayer. I want to hear some prayer. I want to hear some prayer.